As we looked at last week, and then I was able to go in town and preach at the 9 o'clock, and that's the first time I ever spoke at the 9 o'clock service in town. And it was just good to see the people at that service and the 11 o'clock. And again, the uniqueness of the body of Christ here at Spider Lake Church. It's just good to see us all working together in the unique ways that God is using us. But as we came to chapter 12 of Romans, and Dave did a good job of relating this last week, we see Paul explaining the basis of the whole Christian faith, those first 11 chapters, answering lots of questions. What our problem is, the problem of sin, how Jesus came as the answer to that problem, and yet the struggle that we have with sin, and at the same time, the righteousness we have is a righteousness that is by faith, and that we can walk in victory and in liberty. And yes, there's a battle, there's a struggle, but thank God that the victory is ours through our faith in Jesus Christ. And as we come up to chapter 12, and that's a quick summary of all that. As Dave said, that would be a sermon in itself if we went in detail on that. But now we come last week, therefore, Paul is saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what Jesus did on the cross for us, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. God doesn't call us to kill ourselves. He calls us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. In other words, as we're looking this morning, using our gifts, talents, and abilities for God. And the only way that we can do this is no longer to conform to the pattern of this world, not to be stuck into the world's mold, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. When you and I surrender, He transforms us. And then we're conformed to the image of Jesus. That's who we're walking in His footsteps. We're following Jesus, and thank God for that. And then we are then able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Only as we surrender totally and completely. And now he comes into the practical application here. In fact, the first point I want to make here today is humility is essential to being used by God. Verse 3 here. For by grace, the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given to each of you. The tendency of our old sinful nature is one of pride and arrogance, to look down on others, to think that we are better than others. And then the opposite side of this, and there is, now this passage doesn't talk about it because generally that is our problem. We have pride and arrogance. But the other side of this is the attitude, I can't do anything good, that I'm no good for anybody. I'm not good for God, I'm not good for people around me, and we kind of hold ourselves into this depressive state of, I can't do anything good. Woe is me. Now, the disciples set for us some good examples, and then there's some examples to learn from here. And I love, here Jesus is nearing his going to the cross and that. And James and John, Matthew chapter 20, I think you know the story here. James and John had their mom go to Jesus with a request. And what is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Jesus said, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? And I love this. It says, we can. In other words, they were there saying, Mom, you go to Jesus for us. Maybe we can get this worked out. Or, hey, we're better than these other disciples here. we want to be on the right and the left, then they can fit in behind us. And it's like, isn't that like us? We always want to be seen. We want to be recognized. And it says, we can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Now, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And you just look at that in the body of Christ. These were all followers of Jesus, and yet the battles that many times form, and Jesus is here getting close to going to the cross, and this is what his apostles are battling over. Who's going to be on the right? Who's going to be on the left? Jesus called them together. This is discipleship. That's what it is. It's like, hey, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. In other words, the world around us, that's the way they do things. They lord it over. I'm in charge. You do what I say or else. That's the attitude. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow, what a change in attitude. And I don't serve to be seen by men. I don't serve to get praise. And scripture says, if that's what we do, if that's why we're serving to be recognized and to get praise, then guess what Jesus said? Then you've got your reward. You're not going to get a reward when you stand before God. If you're doing it to be seen by men, by women, by the world around us, if you want people to pat you on the back, it's like, no. Now, do we need to encourage each other? Oh, yes. But God sees our hearts and he knows where we need to be. In the world, we see the challenges of people wanting that. And we see all that recognition, but not so in the church. If you want to be great in Christ's kingdom, learn to be a servant. Be willing to do common, ordinary things, no matter what your position. Encourage one another in being servants. This is crucial. And so this is what Paul is getting across here. It's like, all right, you've presented yourself as a living sacrifice. You're testing and approving what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Now be careful about your attitude, that you don't look down on others. And then the other challenging attitude is, I can't do anything. And what we need to realize is that if you and I have just one talent, now this morning, you all, and if you don't have one, you are handed the spiritual gifts questionnaire. Now this is not a test. People are thinking, oh, I'm getting tested. No, but this is a good thing to do to kind of get where your spiritual giftings may lie. And there's 96 questions that you answer, and it's pretty self-explanatory. And then on the back, there is a definition of all the different giftings. And it's not just this passage. This goes through all the passages in the New Testament that refer to giftings that we as the body of Christ can have. And then it defines those, and you can kind of get an idea of where your giftings are. Now, many of you may say, well, I already know my giftings. And that's good. But many times we have people who've never really realized that, man, I do have giftings and talents that I need to use. And we don't want to be the person that sits in the corner and hides from the world around us because we're afraid. We want to step out in faith and letting God use us. And so if we have a bummer attitude, we are called to realize who we are in Christ and how he transforms our attitudes. So this leads to our next consideration. We are the body of Christ. And it goes on here in verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We need each other. We work as a unit. We are not to sit in on the sidelines. And Jim, I saw him come in. Where is he? Jim Burmeister, didn't I see you come in here? Where is he? There he is. Okay. I was going to say, he always says, we need to get in the game. And that is true. We do. We cannot sit on the sidelines. We need to get into the game. And we need each other. I need you. You need me. I'm just trying to think here. I don't want to pick on anybody, but we do. We need each other. Paul goes into great detail on the importance of recognizing this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just listen to the depth he goes in explaining this. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think of as less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now this morning, I want to use an example of one of our passed on members that we had here. Dave Stimson just passed away in November. And if you went to church at Spider Lake ever, you went into the fellowship hall, you met Dave. Dave was kind of in charge of the kitchen. But you know what? Now, Dave would probably be very upset if he was here that I was talking about him this morning, because he liked to just be behind the scenes. But you know what? That's the thing. You wonder why I'm parking over here now. I always used to park over here. Well, guess what? Every Sunday morning, Dave always parked right over there, and I would come to church. Now, if I beat him here, and sometimes I did, but usually by 7 o'clock every Sunday morning, Dave was here. And guess what? He got everything, asked all the ladies, he got everything in the kitchen ready. Everything was prepared. The coffee was made. He did this all behind the scenes, not wanting. In fact, like I say, he'd be ticked off at me if he was here right now and I was bringing this up. But I bring this up because he is an essential part of the body of Christ. Now this morning, I know it was Carla and Leon that came and made the coffee and all that, but we need someone to step into that role. And that's just as important as the preacher. And you say, what? It's like, yes. And that's what this passage just says. We're all a part of this. We need each other. That's not something to look down upon. God help us if we were having this meal on March 5th, this, and I was the cook, no one would come back to church. It would not be good. Just ask my wife. She's dealt with me. I heat stuff in a microwave or in the oven. I don't cook anything. And it is, we all have talents and abilities. And what this passage is getting at, Paul to the Romans and to the Corinthians, we need to recognize we need each other. And all our gifts, talents, and abilities, we need to use for the glory of God. And that's who I'm serving. I am serving the Lord. And if I preach, I preach with everything that's within me. If I teach, all the different things, all the different blessings that we have. And this is brings us to the third point. And I'm going to get done early today because we have a special. And this is exciting. Ashley is here today. Now, he shared in town here quite a while back, but he is going to share his testimony with us today. And the giftings that God has given. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. Like Marty, he's our house dad. He's up here playing piano today. He's the house dad at the Main Street Greater Hayward House of Hope. And it's just exciting to see. And Bryce. Now, Bryce, he's not here today, but he's playing drums at Main Street. It's just neat to see as people are coming and responding to the call of Jesus, how God is using their giftings, talents, and abilities. Now, I had someone here just recently say they played in a rock band. Who knows? Maybe we can get guitar music up here and expand our music offering. I'm all for it. So, but right here, it goes into the last few verses. We have different gifts, verses 6 through 8 here, according to the grace, the undeserving favor given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And it's like, wow, I'm looking at all those things. In other words, don't get a big head about who you are, what you're doing. And look at the times we've seen people fall, people in leadership positions that we look up to in that, and many times put too much stock in people. What we're all have called to do, in fact, Paul said this to the Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I know Dave and I were talking here this week at the council meeting, not just the council, we were talking. It's pretty awesome. When I'm not here, the church doesn't cease to function. It goes on. We have very talented people. Dave can step in. And we've got Mike. We've got David. We've got Al. We've got Harry. And Brenda's kind of, sad to say right now, on the sidelines because of all the things she's dealing with. We've got Rob Biller that comes in. And we have people from around, like we had Brian Cole from Drummond come down. And with different people speaking. And it's just exciting to see that the church is not based on a personality. How many times do we see mega churches, as soon as the pastor leaves, the church falls apart because it's based on that person's giftings and talents. It's like, that's not what the church is. We need each other. So you look around here today. We need each other. And yes, encourage each other. Don't, and this is the other thing. There are not giftings of criticism. There are not giftings of grumbling and complaining. You don't see that listed here. And yet how many who are serving have to deal with that? And if you feel that that is your calling to point out other people's failings, then God needs to get a hold of your heart. That it's like, that is not your calling. Yes, we sit down and discuss things and work through things, but to be a grumbler, a complainer, and an undercurrent is not a calling at all. In fact, the enemy uses that big time. And so this morning, as you take this little questionnaire here, and I don't want you to be doing it now. Hopefully, you're like filling this out. But again, and I want you to just go through an answer, and it's pretty self-explanatory. And I appreciate the guy here, Bobby Clinton, the author of The Making of a Leader. I appreciate his putting this online that we can use this without getting charged to do it. And it's just pretty awesome for him to be able to do that. And so fill that out on your own and then just see. And if you got some giftings and talents you want to get involved in, then you get involved. And if you're in a ministry right now, be encouraged in that ministry and do the best that you can do, serving together with others. And as scripture says, as one man, as one woman sharpens one another, just as iron sharpens one another. And that's what we're called to do. It kind of rub off the rough edges. And when we work together, it takes that. I know I had to work on Dave a lot to rub off his rough edges, but yeah, we're in this together. So this morning, take a look at where you're at, your giftings, your talents, and abilities, and use them for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning, and I am looking forward to hearing Ashley's testimony. So Ashley, come on up, and Grant is here. Grant has shared his testimony, and it's good to see here. And so Ashley is going to come and share his story.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dad.
So I guess first and foremost, I just really want to say thank you. Thank you for, I want to thank everybody for, you know, how welcome I feel, you know, and you've all the love and support that I get from each and one, every one of you. I know that my words aren't enough to show my sincere gratitude, my appreciation, so I hope it shows through my commitment and my efforts to be a part of your community. So thank you. Thank you. I guess I'll get started. So this is my testimony, and before I tell it, I'm gonna share some words, you know, some words that I've heard used in adjective with my name, describing my character. These words are things like my favorite is narcissist. I mean, what does that even mean? manipulative, careless, heartless, worthless, unreliable, selfish, dirty. So I've been called the lowest of the low. The less ash, the better is what they say. You know? Truly, I was dubious in my ways. I was the ruiner of things. And in my eyes, I seen nothing wrong with what I did. There was, you know, it's the way I am, you know, deal with it, right? And as it says in Proverbs 14:12, before every man, there lies a wide and pleasant road that seems right, but ends in death. And like I said, I seen nothing wrong with what I did. Now I know better. And so now I'm going to give a brief summary of my addiction and then an illustration of the manner in which I lived my life and the way God intervened. So my addiction was meth. Every day it started with and ended with, and it revolved around meth. I knew that I needed a change, and I was ready for a change. I also knew I couldn't do it on my own. I had a 4-month jail sentence I sat. That was about 2 months ago now. I got out. And it was a good jump start to sobriety. But alone it wouldn't be enough. It was enough to reconnect with God, who in return, through my probation officer, offered me a chance to grow as a child of God and to become a brother of the House of Hope. And this is where God showed me the vision that I'm about to share with you. And in Psalms 56:13, it says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, and that I may walk before God in the light of life." So now picture thousands of trees in a forest. And each of these trees, they each represent the people throughout my life. And I'm a raging wildfire, burning down the forest from tree to tree, devouring all that comes close or getting in my way without concerns of their feelings or needs, only my own. These trees or people are just fuel for my fire, climbing mountains, jumping rivers from tree to tree, a non-stoppable force searching to satisfy my own thirst, my own selfishness. On this road of destruction, nothing is left but ash. Spread wide and far, my world was laid to waste. This is when I came upon a waterfall that had no beginning. It just came out of the sky and poured into a lake so big and vast that this lake had no end. I could go no further, and the sound of the rushing water was so loud and powerful that I couldn't hear the own roar of my own flame. See, I don't know, I'm not fluent in the language of water, but it spoke to me. It was such clarity and authority, and it was God, and this is what he said. He says, enough. He says, if you try to go any further, I will drown your flame, I will extinguish your fire forever. I won't let you ignore me any longer. He says, step out of your flame, my arrogant son. Open your eyes and look. Show me what you think you've done. And as I do, he says, see, all the trees, how they've regrown. They're bigger, they're stronger, they keep living. There's nothing you can do that I can't fix. And these trees, these people, it's like as if you were never even there, Ashley, and they don't even remember your name. But I do, because I love you. And this is why I gave you these rocks. So don't you see how they're scorched, and they're scarred, and they're covered in soot? But their integrity never broke. No matter how hot or abusive you were, they never cracked. These rocks, they're your family, and they love you as I do. I made these rocks, your family, these people, for you, to be the walls of your house, with Jesus as your foundation, not to imprison you, but to contain you, to endure your heat, to amplify your light. Off in the distance, there's little flames, there's little glowing embers in the dark. Those are my kids, my children that I abandoned for my own selfishness. And I need them just as much as they need me. He says, show your kids, show your family, show me the same love that I have for you. And let the tips of your flames like fingers reach the heavens, as I intended for you to do, like a beacon of light for all to see, a guide for all my children to find me, to show the way, my way, not yours. Let them take refuge in your warmth without fear of being burned by you again. Then this water will become oil to fuel your fire, so you can burn bright and high for all eternity. And then John 4:14, whoever will drink from the water I give him will never thirst again. The water I give him will become him, in him, a spring welling up to eternal life. So by no means am I trying to say that I'm out of the woods. Every day is a struggle. Every day I pray for God to help me. Every day my faith grows. Some days are easier, but even those days I know without God would be the hardest day. Every day starts with, ends with, and revolves around God. And when that stops, that's when I fail. So I can't ever let that stop. Thank you.